Maybe you should go and do some contemplating.
Right reason.
I'm the Bachelorette and I'm rapping to you poolside. Here to find true love, one man for my whole.
Hi, this is Rachel Mathroy.
I've made myself ready for you. We can now begin the sacred act of recording our podcast together.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy. My body is ready for you. I've applied the ointments you prefer. I've tied a scarf around your microphone. I've tied 13 scarves around your microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that old man from Aerosmith likes it.
Mm-hmm.
I've tied 12 scarves to my microphone because I know it's more important. It's important for you that you have more scarves always.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're ready to record Rose Buddies.
This is Rose Buddies.
Thank you for joining us. I'm out of breath. I just ran to the fridge to get a beer and change into my gym shorts, my podcasting shorts. I wanted to make a safe, comfortable environment for you to record a podcast in. And I know that means me drunk in gym shorts.
With scarves.
With so many fucking 25 scarves between the two of us. It's a great deal of scarves.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, I'm in a great mood.
Oh, good.
We've been tearing through Are You the One? Episodes 2 through 5.
Yes.
If that's confusing to you, you missed last week's episode.
Yes. So last week we watched episode 1 of season 3 of Are You the One, and
a lot of numbers in that sense. I was confused by it.
Basically, the long and short of it is that we found the one, and it is this show.
I adore this show. When we're done with this, we're going to watch the other 2 seasons, and then we're going to... How do you even get MTV? Like, where does MTV even live?
I don't know.
If we get a cable box, will it be there waiting for us when we...
Do they still do cable boxes? I don't even know.
Is TiVo... What has TiVo become? Can I put my virtual reality headset on right now and mm-hmm. be inside Are You the One, the MTV experience? Who would I be? Devin. Thank you for asking. Devin.
Who would I be?
You would be Cheyenne.
Okay.
Chill as fuck, like down to...
Yeah.
I know the people's names on this show, which is like a really good sign. I'm not kidding. I love this show so very much. If you listened to it last week and thought like, oh, I'm glad they found a show they liked, but I'm still not going to watch it. Watch it because it's really good television. It's good stuff all around. I'm very happy. I'm going to break out of this weird voice character I've been doing the whole time. Just like this blissed out like dude who's talking in a low voice. I can't give up the low voice. It's just how my voice is, but... what are we talking about?
So we decided, in an effort to kind of keep things fresh, keep things moving, keep it vital, that we would, in this episode of Rose Buddies, talk about multiple episodes of Are You the One?
Cause we don't want to listen, gang. Bachelorette is going to be on late May, right? Late May
yes.
is when it comes back. We're not going to have enough time to do like one episode of this podcast per episode of Are You the One season 3. Also, I think we'd lose a lot of people. I think a lot of people, we put out a poll and like 90% of the folks listening to this were like, we want you to do more Are You the One because it's the best fucking television show ever. And we're down with that. But there's a lot of other ground to tread.
Yes.
So we did half the season. This episode of Rose Buddies, next episode, we'll finish out season 3. I'm like fucking stoked. It was hard for us to actually stop this because mm-hmm. we told people we were going to watch episode 5. And then we watched episode 5 just now before we recorded. And we're like, kind of want to do episode 6.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did my best to kind of whittle each episode down to its kind of key dramatic moments.
We should mention we're joined by our special guests, the fucking gas company. I'm not even going to call them a gas company
because
I'm going to call it what they are, which is an ass company, which is like just like rolled up a fucking truck to our neighbor's house. It's 8:30 at night on a Monday. And you're like, time to start working now.
I mean, we should probably be grateful. If there's some kind of gas emergency, I would like it taken care of as soon as possible.
That is a good point.
Speaking of gas emergency.
Like farts?
I don't know, Griffin. I thought I would play into something you were good at.
Farting?
No, just that kind of humor, you know?
Potty humor.
That kind of humor that you do?
Yeah, like a clown. like some sort of clown would do.
Uh-huh, yeah. Okay.
We're busting out the top moments of episodes 2 through 5. I do want to like, should we do like a recap on what the show is? If people missed the last episode, it is a dating show, 10 men, 10 women. All 10 have been scientifically matched up to have a perfect match on the other side. On the same side. Have they ever broke it down by gender?
I don't think so.
What if they're like, Nelson, what's up? It's Chuck this whole time. You didn't even know.
I don't think that's happened yet, but I don't think they've ruled it out.
That would be sick as hell.
So there are a couple key points along the way. There is the truth booth.
That booth of truth. It's only gotten sweeter. I actually shouted yes at the reveal of the latest episode of the truth booth that we watched. Yeah.
The truth booth kind of preemptively challenges the compatibility of a couple before the match ceremony.
It's the only way to find out for sure if you are a match with somebody or not. If you are, you go to the honeymoon suite, and we've been clarified many, many times over that if you're in the honeymoon suite, you're just, like, not hanging with the rest of the squad, and, like, you're doing your own thing, and you don't vote for the match at the end, but you still get that prize money. You still do get the prize money at the end of the show. It is an all-or-nothing thing.
At the match ceremony, you kind of get a sum total of the matches, where in the truth booth, you get a very specific reading on one couple.
Yes. And then the matches, there's beams of light, 0 to 10 lights. If you get 10, you win $1 million. If you get 0, it's a blackout, and you lose a quarter of a million of the $1 million prize pool that is split between all 20 people. At the end of the show, in episode 1, Rachel and I threw our fucking hats over the fence. We were like, we know who, maybe 6 of the couples are. Like, Chuck and Hannah, for sure.
For sure.
We were laying down a lot of game that we now recognize was not game. It was actually shame.
So, first week, they got 2 matches correct.
2 out of 10.
Which seemed like not a bad start.
It seems like actually a fucking excellent start. It seems like if a blackout's going to happen, it's going to be that week. You don't have any hard data points or soft data points to compare against. Because, again, between the array of 10 and 10, there's 3 million different possible ways that it can break out. More than 3 million different possible ways it can break out. I got into some, like, forums of people, like, breaking down the math of this show. And it's some interesting shit. Anyway,
episode 2?
The Reckoning.
Okay.
The Great Reaping of Are You the One Season 3.
So at the end of last episode, as you'll recall, Kiki finds out that Devon is not faithful to her. And so you have to kind of deal with that aftermath. Devon apologizes, and she quickly accepts.
There's a lot of that on this show.
Yeah.
we'll get to it. The line, I'll give somebody a second chance, but I don't do third chances, was spoken in the latest episode. It's just like kind of a fun twist on the way people usually sort of draw a line in the sand.
And then I thought I'd get straight to the challenge.
Please do.
The challenge was called, quote, Holy Bleep, these guys actually said this stuff.
Yeah, some highlights. They had to match sentences being said to the guys who said them.
The ladies did.
But it wasn't like a guessing game. It was like a memory game. They were like, well, Nelson said that he likes to jerk off in airplanes. And I don't know why that's the one I remembered.
There's somebody that said they loved One Direction. There's somebody that said they cried when they watched Air Bud.
Well, that's like, have you seen Air Bud?
No.
But I know you have a heart.
Yes.
So I can assume you would cry.
What do you know about Air Bud? What
the
happens?
The dog dunks, the game-winning dunk, and he wins the cancer money for the boy. And then the dog, when he like comes down from the dunk, he comes down weird and, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So like Air Buddies is like his kids. And they all have like similar, like they win some sort of operation money for like little kids.
Oh, should we have said spoilers before we started this?
Yeah. So like Air Buddies, the treasure buddies. That's a real one where they're like treasure divers. They find the treasure and they bring it up and then like the little girl can get the surgery, but then, you know, sharks, manta rays.
So the women that are able to remember all of the quotes with their right partners, the top three get to pick
dates. Hey, where did those
quotes
come from? Did they catch them like saying it on camera? Like somebody saying like, hey, Nelson, don't tell anybody.
No, they're probably like initial interviews. Like tell
us how does that come out?
Something embarrassing about yourself.
I jerk off to Air Buddies. I mean, no.
No.
I cry in airplanes and I jerk off to Air Buddies.
We did find out that Hunter, America's sweetheart Hunter, did have sex with a teacher.
That's a fun thing we learned about Hunter. Also, giant hog. Giant rip-roaring, raging.
Well, we find that out later. Episodes 2 through 5. You're going to step all over.
I got excited. Not like sexually, but just like, good for him.
Oh, yeah.
He was exonerated because of the size of his monster piece.
Okay, so the winners get to go on some sort of motor scooter date. So Kiki chooses Devon, no surprise. Stacy chooses Hunter, and Melanie chooses Tyler. None of this is especially important, but I feel like I should really report the news as it happens.
Yeah, well, it's all rendered null and void by the end of this episode anyway, but...
Yeah. So after they have their date, they come back. Mike, who we know from a previous episode is a stripper, does some
light stripping.
Some light stripping.
Nothing you would even, like, more tame than Magic Mike XXL.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the one where they got, like, full balls out? That was the original Magic Mike, right?
I don't know. I didn't see that one. But XXL, it has so much choreography.
But no, like, full balls. It's like, at that point, Channing Tatum was such a known quantity that, like, he wasn't allowed to get his whole hog out in motion pictures. Magic Mike is basically like an indie flick. And that's when, like, you gotta get your hog out if you're gonna make the circuit.
Does Channing Tatum get his stuff out in that first movie?
I'm saying the odds are better. That if he gets his hog out in one of the movies, it's Magic Mike, not Magic Mike XXL.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw XXL and I did not see his XXL.
Well, you never pay attention to that shit. You missed his hog.
Oh, you missed Gone Girl.
You missed the Gone Girl hog. And I was like, you are kidding me.
Yeah, I miss Ben Affleck's, Affleck.
It wasn't a great hog shot, but. What were we even fucking talking about?
Okay, so Amanda basically gets upset that Mike is stripping for the ladies, and she confronts him, and then Mike's like, oh, you know, I was just trying to press your buttons, like, we're cool, you know, like,
they
sorry.
They definitely weren't cool.
At this time, though, you think, oh, she's gonna forgive him in the same way that Kiki forgave.
Like, every Debbie. Woman has forgiven every trash person in this house.
Yeah. Okay, so now it's time for the truth booth.
That booth of truth. I forget. This is one of the, like, 9 times that Kiki went into
yes,
the truth
this
booth,
is
right?
Devin and Kiki are
How
finally...
How did Kiki become such a hot commodity?
I can't figure that out either.
Because she went in episode 1 as well, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, Kiki in episode 1 went in with... Kiki went with Hunter Country Boy, and that's when he was like, oh, you're so upset.
Yeah.
You're so devastated.
Yeah, because Kiki and Devin have been a couple from the first ep. And so they go into the truth booth... everybody is like, they're for sure a match because they're so into each other. They are not a match.
This is the first time that sort of one of the wrinkles that I hadn't even considered kind of revealed itself in a big, big way is that everybody, as soon as these two came back in the house, they knew they were all over each other. These two, as soon as they came back in the house, there were a lot of folks, Mike sticks out, who were like, okay, you guys know you gotta like go clean slate right now.
Yeah.
You can't like spend all your time fucking hanging out with each other.
You gotta figure this out.
You gotta get back out there and help us figure this out. And at first I thought that was so silly. Like, if you like somebody in the house, you can still like do whatever, hang out with them, do whatever you want. And just like look for your match on the side. But like, socially, that's not really how it would work because like if you were hanging out with somebody, nobody's ever gonna approach you. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. No, people are really jealous on this show.
It's a game ass game, but like there's still that social stigma. Yeah. That's permanent. That like you really can't get away from that. And that's happened a few times of like two people talking, trying to get to know each other, and some territorial jag like walks up and like, hey, is this guy bothering you?
So I don't want to skim past the reaction of Devin to the truth booth.
What was his reaction?
He said, quote, this is whack. And then he flipped off the monitor in the truth booth.
Yeah, take that, technology. He passed the Turing test. He knew he was being angry at in that situation.
And then it shows Devin and Kiki in like a little confessional. And they're like, we're going to stay under the radar. You know, like this is the radar and this will be us under it.
And I remember seeing that and being so angry at them.
Yeah.
Little did I know, like that was going to be literally
that's
going to
be what everybody does. Yeah.
So yeah, the truth booth, delicious. Mm-hmm. I love it. It got kind of boring there in a while because they kept sending Kiki in all the fucking time, but it's getting good again.
So this week is really exciting because
this was the best week.
So there's no, at this point, they aren't really playing strategy as like, you know, Austin has said kind of like, we need to play strategy, but most of them are kind of like, I like this person. Like, I could see myself being physically compatible with this person. So they go into this matchup ceremony, just kind of
just fucking floating around,
higgledy piggledy, picking anybody.
6 of the couples stay with the couple that they had at the beginning. So 6 of the matches that were the matches in episode 1 stayed matched up for episode 2, which is like kind of incredible. I know you can't really like get together and democratically decide like, okay, which were the two matches, like the 20 of us sit down in a room
and
really
figure out. I thought nobody stayed together and that was the problem.
No, four matches were the only matches that switched. 6 matches stayed together.
Okay.
And in that matchup ceremony.
No matches.
No lights.
Blackout.
Blackout. Prize pool down to $750,000. This was something I had not considered, mainly because I didn't think they were going to ever black out. If you got two that first week, like, you're so far ahead of the curve, you're good. You're good to go. This was something I had not considered because at this point we had maybe six couples. We had like, the surfer guy,
Hannah
surfer
and
girl.
Chuck.
Hannah and Chuck. You had, Mike and Amanda, who
Mike
were like,
and Amanda,
they
for
were the
sure.
ones who were like having sex and like telling each other, like, you're my match. I'm inside mm-hmm. you. You're my match. You had, Nelson and Cheyenne, who I thought were like real cute together. Well, mm-hmm. I know Nelson's kind of a tool. And then like two or three other like couples that were like
Tyler and Rashida, I think we're pretty excited about.
And so like there were all these matchups that you were so excited about. And then
Connor and Kayla were really into each
Connor
other.
Connor and
too.
Kayla were real deep into it.
And we just thought like, oh, well, these people
this
all seem
time,
so compatible.
This could be a short season. No matches. Yeah. So like Devin, who kind of came around for me because I like a good like audience surrogate in a show. And he's kind of that. He had this amazing reaction of like, nobody here is everybody who everybody's sitting next to is wrong for them.
Yeah.
Like, that's we couldn't do that again accidentally if we tried.
And so.
But at the same time, I will say this, from a math standpoint, that is, that's so many like hard data points that now you have
yeah.
that you can use for every other matchup. I think it sucks. Like their prize pool got cut down. What? They had 50,000 a person before. Now they're getting like 37, something like that. So that sucks on ice, but like to know 10 combinations that aren't right is like so hugely valuable. And they use that the following week to prevent themselves from getting counted out. Cause you know, from those four matches that did change, two of them were the correct match from the beginning. So like, I'm obsessed with the math of this show.
I know
it's
you
fucking
are.
Great.
I think what's interesting is that they keep getting urged to go with their hearts.
Yes.
Anytime they fail, which happens several times, there's this, you guys just need to go with your hearts. And I feel like, what does that mean in this case?
I think it's got to be a combination of both, because if you just go by math, you only got 10 weeks. I don't think there's any way that you can guess right, right? Like, there has to be some semblance of, like, I'm really into this person, they're really into me, I bet we're a match. But, like, to sit down and be like, I'm into these three people, and create, like, a grid of, like, a scoring rubric. I talked about that in the first episode. Just, like, sit down and talk about who your top favorite people in the house are.
Yeah.
And then figure it out that way. There's got to be some element of, like, I'm feeling it with this person. That is, like, an informational advantage. It's just not hard.
Well, and I think what also comes out of this next week is the idea of fake couples. So these couples that refuse to separate.
Of those six, there were maybe, I think there were, Amanda and Mike were still like going hot and heavy.
Hannah and Chuck.
Hannah and Chuck are like going real hot and heavy. Kiki and Devin are like not giving up. So like all these couples that like, no, they are not each other's matches.
Yeah, so they're
just like, fuck it, I'm gonna.
They're getting called fake couples in that they know they're not compatible, but they're still refusing to, quote, open their hearts, I guess, to other people.
Yeah.
Which is preventing any kind of progress.
So interesting, dude. Like, the hardcore crushes that you had week one, that's like gonna be hard to break off from. And then it plays out the same in every other like reality show, even remotely related to this, because in like Survivor, the you win Survivor based on like the first 10 minutes off the boat. Like when you first roll up to your beach. And that first 10 minutes, you're like, you and me. Like, we're sticking strong. And as long as we just stay the five of us, we'll be good. I think that similar thing, like, happens in this, where it's just the first person you talk to and make a connection.
Yeah.
With. And that's so hard to break off from.
Yeah. Well, and they do, that's the point that they start to realize further down the road, is that, you know, we consistently make these mistakes in our real life, and we are doing it again here.
Yeah.
Where they just go instantly for the physical attraction and then try and rationalize a connection beyond that.
So these fake couples, they're not going nowhere.
No.
Not for a while.
Well, some of them burn up.
Bright and fast, like a dying star.
Let's go on to episode 3.
Who was the Okay, yes. Episode 3.
Episode 3 is the aftermath of episode 2.
It was very bad. A lot of tears.
So we open up with Rashida just having a full meltdown.
This how you do me, like yelling at God. Yeah,
literally saying, God, please tell me why.
Who is she matched up with? I didn't think she was like in like a tight connection.
She was more upset.
About the money?
About the money, yeah.
That's a lot of money to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hannah and Chuck are very upset. Chuck says this is the worst feeling you could possibly ever imagine. Nelson and Cheyenne are, you know, feeling the effects. Austin is the one that is saying, hey, we're all here because we're bad at this. We have to figure this out. Strategy is the way to go.
Austin has been, like, banging that drum this whole time. And in fact, Austin is responsible for the only, I think he's responsible for the only perfect match in the house so far, which we'll get to that later. But he's the only person that told the guy, like, you have to go for this one woman because you guys are super good together.
Yeah.
You have to stop doing this one thing that sucks and go for this thing that's guaranteed a lock.
And and so then we go into the beach challenge, which is called, quote, these girls are stacked.
That's fun. Good job, show.
Yeah. Where they throw tires on poles. And each tire has a dude's name on it, and the dude whose name is at the top of the stack at the end of the round gets to go on a date with that woman.
So there was no strategy for this whatsoever. Just like a dude would wait until there was a max of 6 tires, so a dude would just wait until there are 5 tires on a girl's name. They just run up to her and throw a tire over.
Yeah, dudes
and
just want dates.
The dates, there were 3 dates, and they were just like garbage. Like, no. Like, dudes just wanted to go fucking...
Nobody had any compatibility at all.
Yeah.
Jet skis, and then they had a date on like what they called a floating love palace. And there was almost no connection between anyone on that date.
So the truth booth that week was Kiki again and...
Zach, yeah. Zach and Kiki were on the Love Palace together.
Oh, shit, that's right.
And that had nothing awful to talk about. And that's when the people, because this is Kiki's third week, they're saying, you know, at this point, let's just keep throwing Kiki in there and narrow down her matches. And surprise, surprise, she did not match with Zach.
They had a convo on the boat that was really, really brutal to, like, we've watched so much Bachelor and Bachelorette at this point. Like, we can digest most, like, awkward conversations that happen on television shows. This was some next level shit.
What do you like in a guy? And she's like, oh, you know, someone who's funny and nice.
Hey, how's my hair look? Does it look okay?
Yeah. Actually did that.
When you have to ask the person that you are ostensibly trying to make your hair look okay for if your hair looks okay, that's probably like, it probably means it's not popping, cracking.
When we started dating, what was your hair ritual before we would go out?
I would blindfold myself.
Uh-huh.
And then I would like bind my legs really, really hard until it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would put on the clamps, and I would just pull my hair just as hard as I could.
Yeah.
I would shout, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. And then I'd be ready. What's wrong?
No, that seems about, that tracks. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I
mean, we live together now. Mm-hmm. You know the score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it seems like you bind different areas, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to get bored with it. Yeah. That's why I started doing this shit in the first place.
Yeah.
So
Truth Booth, no match. We could talk about Hunter at this point. Hunter does his talent show this episode.
He's got the hugest donger. Like,
they have since the guys failed so miserably, apparently they had a bet with the woman that if they did worse, they would, quote, cater to the women. So they all are wearing these like boxer briefs and twerking and dancing.
And
Hunter, we see Hunter go into a separate room and kind of like fiddle with himself and come back out. And everyone thinks he put a sock in
down
there.
His trousers.
Yeah.
And somebody calls him out for it. And he's like, do you want to see my penis? And they're like, yeah, I want to see your, oh my God.
He quote helicopters, which Griffin, I'm going to need you to describe. I don't know what that means. What does it mean to helicopter?
Baby, you're smart. You know, you can figure it out.
Is so it does it's he pretend he's penis, driving?
It's when you have four penis
okay.
shafts.
Okay. Uh huh.
And then you press the button on yourself
mm-hmm.
that makes your Inspector Gadget dick go wild.
Do you have to say anything?
Have you ever heard somebody say like, "What that dick do though?"
Yeah.
The answer to that
sure.
can be
for sure.
Dun 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 dun. And then you like lift yourself up by the torso.
Yeah.
You get out of there.
And Hunter was able to get up really high.
He was able to get up super high because his dick's really big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his four dicks are really, really super duper duper big. My favorite reaction to this was Rashida, who it's like jump cut to her behind the scenes interview. She said, "Maybe Hunter is my match." I'm like, all right, Rashida, get it. Love it. Loving it.
And then this is when, Mike and Amanda, we see they are still hooking up.
Despite the fact that they are definitely not matches.
Yeah. Stacy and Alec have this really like
bad,
like Kurt Cobain, Courtney Love kind of thing happening.
I know who are those people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a joke.
In the 90s.
No, she's like all over him, and it's he's not into it like at all.
They feel this fear of abandoning because what if they are the match? They don't want to, you know, abandon their partnership and then lose one of those lights at the ceremony.
Right.
So Alec is going along with it, even though he cannot stand Stacy. They are very unhappy together.
Yeah.
And so it gets to the ceremony, and this is when Amanda and the host
holy shit
really
Ryan
go at
Devlin.
It.
Okay, so Ryan Devlin rules. He's fucking awesome. He's really great.
I can't figure him out. I don't feel like I have a good handle on him yet.
He revealed himself to me in this episode.
Oh, okay.
Of just like, I like a host who's like good at their job. You know what I mean? Like a host, it's the same reason I like Chris Harrison, and he didn't get enough time to shine, but like he's good as fuck at hosting this show.
Yeah.
The best in the biz is my boy Jeff Probst, who is like so in love with the game of Survivor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he knows everything to talk about. He knows the right questions to ask and stuff like that. But he also like gets his ass in there and like mixes it up
yeah.
from time to time in a way that doesn't feel like he's interfering with anything. And Ryan Devlin like busted that shit out in this episode in a big way because Amanda stepped to him and was like, "You have no idea how she was like, I'm still with Mike. I still like Mike." And he was like, "But you're not a match with Mike." She's like, "Yeah, but it's just who I like." You have no idea how hard it is to do this in this house.
Yeah. And Ryan's like, "I'm on your side." And she's like, "You're not on our side."
She says, "You have no idea how hard it is to come in and meet somebody and then be told that you're not the right person." And he said, quote, "I'm not saying that what you're doing is hard. I'm saying what you're doing is stupid."
Yeah.
In reference to the fact that she still wants to be with this dude that
yeah.
like, the game has decided is not the match for her. And so she says, "You're not on our side. Fuck you." And like claps at him and cusses him out and flips him off. And Ryan Devlin is like,
"Be careful.
Watch it."
Yeah. Like, be careful.
It was.
And so Amanda picks Austin. Like, that is the one thing that's happening, is that people will grudgingly pick someone else, but they will make no effort.
Ryan even says, compared to that, like, "Oh, Austin, you can really feel the heat."
Yeah, there's a lot of romance here.
Ryan Delvin's amazing. I think he's the best dude. He does this little hand flourish every time a light comes on that I'm just absolutely in love
yeah,
with.
Yeah, he signals towards the ground.
He, like, does a karate chop and, like, signals towards the ground. Like, he's
like, "That's one." And then there's a flourish.
Like a WWE ref, like just calling a pinfall. Love that shit.
And the other thing I'll say at the end of this match ceremony, Brittany gives a little speech, cause she's been kind of ignored by everybody. And she's just like, "Hey, you guys, there's no way your heart is actually involved. Like, let's act our age. Let's get serious about this game." And they do better that week. They get three matches.
Three lights. High score.
Yeah. Episode 4. Can we keep going?
Yeah, let's print through it.
Okay.
I don't remember episode 4 very well.
So we see more of Brittany right at the top. We know that Chuck and Hannah aren't matches, so
despite the fact that Rachel and I were like 100%. Like,
I know, we were 100%
sure. They got that SoCal lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. That billabong lifestyle.
They're billing each other's bongs so hard. But no, it was not meant to be.
No.
Star-crossed lovers.
Brittany reveals that she, like Chuck, likes the water.
Chuck, that's all Chuck needs to
hear. That's all he needs. They have like a water fight in which she removes her top.
Chuck
and
also likes women's breasts.
Well, not women as much as mermaid.
He keeps calling her mermaid.
He says that he is a merman and that she is a mermaid.
Because her breasts are out and she's in water?
She puts her hair over them in a mermaid fashion.
She has long hair, breasts, and is mm-hmm. in water. So yeah. many women could like fill that.
Mm-hmm.
Fill that category.
They do the challenge, and I share the names. I share the names of these challenges only because they're
amazing.
So awful.
Yeah, they're really good. I agree. They're so good, and whoever names them did a great job. I bet it was Ryan.
This one is called Hot Doggy Style.
I love it. Great, good joke, Ryan.
There is a plexiglass maze, and each couple will share a hot dog that they will guide the maze through, and the fastest two times get a date.
You can't just say share a hot dog. You're leaving out a lot of anatomical.
One person will put their
ass
mouth
to ass
on one side of the hot dog.
Can I do my Keith David impression?
No, please.
Ass to ass.
Griffin.
What's wrong? From Requiem for
a
Dream?
It's a really traumatic scene in that film.
I guess I forgot like what actually happens in the scene. I just think about Keith David saying ass to ass.
That should give you enough to remember.
Yeah, I guess that's enough context.
So a woman will hold a hot dog in her mouth on one side of the glass, and then a man will hold
the other.
They will each hold a side of the hot dog with their mouth and guide it through the maze together.
I know a lot of you guys are thinking, you mean left or right? We'll hold it by like the sides? No, they got to go the long ends.
Yeah. So,
that'd be hard as hell. Were you thinking about the logistics of that? Because if you bite the hot dog, it falls through. Were the hot dogs cooked? God, I hope so.
I mean, most hot dogs are pre-cooked now when you purchase them.
They were just like cold, clammy hot dogs?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ugh, God, MTV.
So Brittany and Chuck win, so they're able to test out their mermaid-merman thing. And Zach and Cheyenne. Zach's really excited about this. Zach feels a strong connection with Cheyenne.
Does he?
Yeah.
I don't remember. That's right. Yeah.
So they go on a underwater dive with manta rays.
Which Cheyenne is psyched about.
Yeah, she is terrified of, I don't know if it's water or water at night.
Manta rays are scary as fuck, dude.
She didn't know what a manta ray was, so I can't imagine that was what she was afraid of.
But it was also like diving at night, which sucks. Like, I'm not a big fan of the deep ocean to begin with because things like manta rays exist inside of them. Before you start tweeting at me like, manta rays are peaceful as hell. They are hang gliders that are alive and they have long, sharp tails. So I don't want to hear any of that shit. At night, if one of those things brushed up against me, my skeleton would leave my body. It would shoot out of my mouth.
I like to think about them as smiling kites.
Smiling water kites. That is fun. Mm-hmm. Are they the ones that killed Steve Irwin or those were stingrays?
No, yeah.
Still in the Ray family. Like, I don't want to be racist. Racist?
Oh, stop. Just stop talking right there. You're done. That's perfect. Don't change a thing. Don't change a thing. Okay.
Oh, shit, that was really hard.
This is when, so they're on their date, and this is when Mike and Amanda fall apart.
In a major way.
Because Mike again performs a strip routine, this time on Stacy, who I always get confused with Amanda, because they are both East Coast dark-haired women.
Yeah.
There's like a bubble party, there's lots of foam, Mike is dancing, Amanda is very upset. She's yelling at him. At this point, Mike says he's done, says she reminds him of an ex, makes a lot of comparisons to Trash and Curbs, and they appear to be over.
Yeah, Dunsky. I don't think they got a fourth chance after that, did they?
No, that was it.
So that couple.
That was the end.
But that's fine. It's a fake couple. It's hard. They exchanged some hard words, and I'm sure it was very difficult for him. But guess what? You're a fucking fake couple. Dr. Love didn't decide that you were right for each other. And this is why. This is exactly why. So maybe give some faith to Dr. Love. He was right. In this case, he was right.
Yeah. We see that Chuck and Britt's date goes really well, and nobody's surprised about that. They vote to send them to the truth booth. And Griffin and I really thought maybe it is Chuck.
I didn't know. I didn't think this was it.
No, you didn't think so?
No.
They're both mer creatures.
No, baby. We've established that means that they were in the water at the same time. You and I were in the water at the same time this past weekend. we're married and that's great and everything, but you know, we're not mer people, right?
No, that's true.
Okay, good. We also know that they're not a match, because that's what Dr. Love said.
No match.
So this is our fourth truth booth. We are batting 0 for 4.
Yep.
And it's not going very well. It's not going very well in the house. I would say spirits are low.
Yeah. Zach at this point makes the apt observation and says, everyone is just going after the girl they want to fuck the most, which...
Yeah, Zach. Yes. Nailed it.
Yes, exactly.
Is this the episode where Austin has this conversation with Connor and says, like, you need to move on from your first crush and start talking to...
Chelsea?
Yes.
Connor, I don't know if that happens this episode or not.
Well, it was definitely before this most recent episode we watched, where Austin, who's, like, sort of the person most
interested in the game,
the game stuff, like, taking precedent and doing some strategizing, goes to Connor and is like, hey, Connor, like, you and Chelsea are a super good match. I think Chelsea's really cool. If it's not you and Chelsea, I think it's me and Chelsea because I'm really into her. I think she's really great, and you guys have a good connection. You know it's not this girl that you sat with during the blackout, so, like... go talk to Chelsea. And Connor's like, yeah, I'll think about
it.
And they do. And he's like, I used to be a drug addict. And she's like, I counsel drug addicts. And he's like, oh, well, fuck.
Yeah.
And then they like hit it off in a major, major way.
Yeah. And the only other thing I'll say is that when Zach and Cheyenne, so at the match ceremony, Connor and Chelsea pick each other. Zach picks Cheyenne, and Cheyenne says, you know, we're both assholes. And Zach responds by saying, yeah, retweet, which I thought
is a bad thing to say.
Is there potential there of like next time we agree, if I'm like, yeah,
the people I want to see a house fall on.
Yeah. Retweet. Like, let's say Griffin were to say like, oh, you know what? It's like real nice outside today. And I'd be like, yeah, retweet.
Yeah. And then a bus hits both of us. And that house lands on the bus.
Well, would it be appropriate? Great. Like, what if I'm like, I really, really like this meal we just had.
I'd be like, oh, yeah, retweet. And then again, work? House.
House every time? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if you say, if you actually say the word retweet, even if it's like, hey, did you see that tweet I retweeted earlier? If you actually say the word out loud, it's like Bloody Mary or Beetlejuice. The house just falls on you because that's not a word. It's a garbage word, and you should be punished by a house.
So this week, the couples do worse. Last week, they had 3. This week, they have 2.
Not a great result.
No.
Ryan Devlin gives him an earful. You're going the wrong direction, he says.
Yeah. Open your hearts.
Listen to your hearts. You're not listening to your dumb hearts. You're not listening to your dumbass hearts. You're just listening to your boners. Which is true.
And now we're at episode 5.
This is the most recent episode we watched, and it was just finished watching. Humdinger.
Yeah, so this is the one where you think Hannah is done with Chuck because Chuck has been all over Britt, and she's very upset that he hasn't come to her defense. There was a moment in the previous episode.
It got nasty.
Yeah, where Britt, like, calls out Hannah, like, you know you're not a match. You need to get over it. You need to stop going after him. And Hannah's upset because Chuck doesn't say anything to defend her.
And whenever stuff like that happens, everybody breaks against the fake couple person because they are actively keeping them from getting that money, son.
Yeah. And so
people are like going savage on Hannah.
And Hannah is upset, and we think that she's inconsolable. And then Chuck comes and apologizes. And this is when she says that.
I don't give third chances.
Yeah. I'll give them. Everyone deserves a second chance, but.
Not a third chance. Some people deserve third chances. Yeah. I have an ex named Henry, and he's on his 28th chance. But I swear to God, that's it, because nobody gets 29 chances.
And so they hook up. And.
In what is affectionately called the Boom Boom Room.
Yeah, what is that exactly? Ryan says that a couple times. I thought they hooked up in the shower because she got in the shower with him.
They've done it a few times. Caught me in the shower. It was, I mean.
What's what?
You even caught me in the boom boom room. It was, I mean.
What is the boom boom room?
You even caught me red handed. You don't want to hear more of Shaggy?
No, keep going.
Picture this, we were both butt naked, shouting on the bedroom floor.
What were they doing on the bedroom floor?
Picture this, we were both butt naked, bonging on the bedroom floor.
Billabonging? Is that what you said?
I said bunging. Yeah, I think it's just like the fantasy suite, but you just can get in there whenever you want, and then as long as you like put a little flag up so they know
maybe
to hose
they make
it off.
That more clear in season one, because what we see is like a big dormitory space that has lots of beds.
I think that's where you sleep, and then there's a
maybe
big
there's a
nice
separate...
bed that you like boom boom.
Ooh, I bet that's pretty gross.
Hey baby, when we're done recording this podcast, why don't we go boom boom? Sometimes I say boom boom to mean poop, so like that is.
It's
I would
confusing.
Call the, I would call the bathroom the boom boom room.
It's a dangerous.
Although you could do both, couldn't you? I don't want to get crass, but in a bathroom, I know. I've heard stories from some people who say that they've made love in there, and everybody poops. So it's the boom boom room.
I don't know how to get
this
out
of this.
This
has been the end of the boom. Well, this has been the end of the boom boom
okay.
room conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. The next challenge is called Anything for Love. It's a girls only challenge. And the woman who makes it the furthest in the challenge and wins gets to choose both dates.
Yes.
For her and her second place. Anything for Love is, it's gross.
It's bad.
But not as gross as I thought it could be.
No, but it was bad.
So we know that it's going to be like a gross out challenge. Ryan prepares us. But I was thinking they'd have to eat a bunch of gross stuff.
No, like they just kind of have to be around it, like near, be near some dead squids.
The first challenge, yeah, there are different colored golf balls in a tub of squids, and they have to find their color.
That's not that bad. Like, no, there were women who were just like freaking
gross.
The fuck out.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just some slime. It's just some goo.
And then this second round is
You've
weird.
Been in the boom boom room. You know what, like, put your hands in a bunch of slime is like.
This goo should not feel different to you.
Right.
The second one's weird. It's you either take 5 shots of hot sauce or eat a plate of pig's feet.
Like, do the hot sauce, right?
Yeah, why would you?
Well, because if you win the date, you don't want to be like shitting your brains out the whole time, right?
Yeah, I guess.
But the pig's feet could give you that too. You don't know how your body's going to react to an alien insurgent like that.
Rashida, like a real champ, like wins that one, no problem.
Yeah,
she's
Rashida
like,
downs that sauce.
I've eaten pig's feet a bunch of times. This is great.
Oh. I guess I wasn't watching at that point. I was actually eating dinner while this challenge was on, so I was,
yeah.
I was actively trying not to look at the TV screen.
And then the final one, it comes down to Chelsea and Rashida, and it is bobbing for an apple in a bucket of fish chum.
Rashida was considerably less psyched about this challenge.
Yes. And at a certain point, Chelsea wins first. And then it comes down to Melanie and Rashida, and Melanie's just like, you know, Rashida needs this.
Yeah, Rashida had a kind of a breakdown at the last
match.
Yeah,
she was
like, she hasn't gotten like anything going this
whole
time.
Dunking her whole head in there and just coming up just like drenched in fish guts and not getting anything.
But she does it. She's champ.
And so Chelsea picks Connor, which we're all excited about because this is the match we've been waiting to see. And
that was the drug counselor and former drug addict.
And then Chelsea
recovering drug addict, I should say.
Chelsea picks Nelson for Rashida.
Nelson's been hung up on Cheyenne.
Yeah.
And is also just a massive dick. No, he doesn't have a massive dick. Like,
we don't know that though until this episode.
Well, I know it now, and I just want to warn our listeners, don't get too attached to Nelson.
Yeah.
Because he's a piece of shit.
They go on jet powered surfboards.
Looks fun as hell, dude. That's some Back to the Future shit.
But before they go on their date, Cheyenne and Zach are talking, and Zach is, you know, working really hard on Cheyenne. And that's when Nelson comes up and just kisses Cheyenne right in front of Zach.
Come to bed in 5 minutes.
And Zach is understandably a little annoyed by that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
So Zach and Cheyenne go back to, I don't think it was the boom boom room. I think it was like the dormitory space. And they're making out. And while they're making out, I notice every single bed in that room is stripped.
Yeah, it's probably just laundry day.
Do you think they do their own laundry?
Or no, I think they probably have a guy.
You think there's like one guy that has to come in there in a hazmat suit and strip all those beds?
I think they're clean enough.
Baby,
that was crazy. They don't all sleep in the same room, do they?
All the boom boom that is happening, that poor
I think it's
man.
A different room from the boom boom room. I think the boom boom room has a team of...
The room that Zach and Cheyenne were in, like, had, like, at least six beds. Like, six twin beds.
But that can't possibly be the Boom Boom Room. The Boom Boom Room can't be set up for 12 people to be having sex all at the same time in it. That's inhuman.
No, I know. But you don't think they're also hooking up in the non-Boom Boom Room?
No, I think that's fucking expressly forbidden. It's called the fucking Boom Boom Room. It's not called, like, another room to hang out in. It's the Boom Boom Room. You know, if you have a library, you don't read in the kitchen. If you have a kitchen, you don't cook in the library. It's the Boom Boom Room.
So what do they call the room that in which Boom Boom does not take place?
The snooze zone.
Well, Zach and Cheyenne were making out in the SC. And it went really well. They both seemed to feel good about it.
Yeah, great kissing technique. You could see like a lot of moisture being exchanged between the two of them.
But not hear it, just which I appreciated.
Right, yeah, just the right amount of petting.
I didn't want to hear the moisture.
Rachel hates the sound of kissing.
And I didn't have to. So Connor and Chelsea get voted to go into the truth booth, and the best thing that has ever happened on this show happens. They are a perfect match.
I literally cheered.
Me too.
I literally was like, yes!
I raised my arms in the air and celebrated.
Because, like, this is, we're five fucking episodes in. We're halfway through this show. I just wanted them to make some forward progress on the, like, cracking the code. But also, I was, like, kind of into it. A, Connor's a fucking dreamboat. B, Chelsea seems like a real sweetheart. C, they seem like they're really happy together. D, you know they're not a fake couple, so that means they could be real. E, it's the first, like, couple that's gone in there that you think has like any chance at all because Kiki's not a part of it. And then,
well, and it was Connor and Kayla before, right?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
Kayla's the one Kayla's who's been throwing worse. Fits all over the place
for like no reason.
She was not happy about this new relationship, but then was trying to act like, well, whatever, I want them both out of here anyway. Great, I'm celebrating. Awesome, I love that they're together because she was so
like,
upset.
You understand this is a good, like,
yeah,
you're gonna get like 30K out of this shit,
yeah.
Chill the fuck out. You can't have liked in $30,000 worth within a week. No way. That's good. Get out of here. She's also the youngest person in the house, which they keep using as like...
Yeah, they keep saying that. I don't actually know how young she is.
I don't either. But, I mean, it is super like... It's like... She just kept saying the same shit over and over again. Like,
yeah.
I just can't wait for their asses to be out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Cool and great.
I think she said she was going to twerk in celebration if they matched. But just, I don't recall seeing her twerk.
And then she said retweet.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's her and Zach. He's the one who said retweet, right?
Yeah.
I'm just putting that. I mean, I was so wrong in that first episode. Let me just like throw one out there. Zach and Kayla. See what's up.
So Nelson finds out that Zach and Cheyenne made out because Cheyenne confronts Nelson and says, hey, we've got to move on. We need to win this show.
I kiss Zach.
And I kiss Zach. And then Nelson throws the biggest tantrum. He's breaking doors. He's slamming tables.
Just
he's
like, fuck
yelling.
That, fuck all that shit. Fuck that shit of like the like, way that you exert. Like
he's like yelling at Zach in front of Cheyenne.
Like sitting down at a table with him, just like shaking with rage, just like picking things up off the table and throwing them across the room. Like fuck that shit, dude. Like that like level of aggression of like I'm going to kill you.
Yeah,
like, get that fucking garbage out of here.
It's like the biggest red flag ever. Like if you are this upset,
that's the craziest thing. Now there's nine women in this house. One of those nine women is looking at that guy and be like, maybe, maybe. Boy, I would love to be with that dude who's like the like being super super scary violent right now.
So Brittany gets caught behind one of the doors that gets broken.
She's like behind the door. It's like a bathroom where she was like doing her makeup.
And he like
and dude like runs
through.
Up and like punches his fist through it and like breaks out one of the panels of this door, which like first of all, it's not a very good door. So like he could have hurt himself if it was a good door. And punches through it and Brittany was like on the other side of it. So you hear her scream like,
yeah.
Dude. He also broke the latch off of a sliding door. That's two doors down. Oh, it's almost the band. That would have been fun. Just like fucked. Oh man. What I can't fucking stand dudes like that or any people like that. There's another point where Connor got slapped, right? By Kayla.
Yeah.
Because like Connor at one match ceremony was like, oh, it's not me and Kayla. And then Kayla like slaps him in the face.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't, you can't just slap people.
Yeah.
We're on a television show. If this was ANTM, Tyra would have been like, you're fucking done. Get the fuck out of here. Tyra would have looked at what dude was doing and been like, you broke two doors. It's time for you to fucking go.
Well, but Are You the One is not trying to book any of these people for careers in the industry.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Of reality dating.
I get it. Like, there's like, everybody's fucking drunk all the time with these shows. I get that, but like, I was just thinking, like, being any person in that household with a guy who's, like, throwing shit against walls and, like, punching through doors and, like, screaming and just, like, standing there shaking and making those, like, microaggression movements of looking like they're about to, like, oh, they just want to punch something or somebody so bad. Like, go to hell. I'm drawing a line in the sand against aggression. Get out of here.
No, I think it's valid, especially in this situation where you are forced to find a partner.
I know. Anytime anybody does, I get that everybody's here like looking for love. I would spend way more time on this show, like watching this woman like slap this guy for literally no reason and then scream at him for literally no reason and thinking like, please God, please don't be her. Please God, wouldn't it be so fucking terrible if it was her? Fuck, that would suck.
So the other thing that happens before the match ceremony is that Brittany and Chuck hook up, outside, basically in front of everybody on the patio furniture.
Yeah.
And, this is when Hannah says, no third chances.
No. Unless he asks real nicely. It makes me make a
mistake. Like people were gathered at the window and watching from like 10 feet away. Everybody saw this go down.
Yeah. People were saying, like, I'm going to go down to the patio, get a better look.
Yeah.
They were not being very discreet.
Yeah. So at the match ceremony, I felt like it was a pretty decent pairing all around.
All around? Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of clunkers. There's a couple of folks who, like, tried it in the last couple ceremonies, and we had matches there, so they're just, like, confident that it is them. And then, of course, we have Connor and Chelsea, our confirmed match, who now we just have one constant beam of light. In order for them to avoid a blackout, now they have to have two or more. So you always have to have one new beam of light.
Yeah, so their light comes up immediately, and then we're looking for at least one more.
We get it.
And that is all we get.
And that's it.
So just the one
they're
more.
They're at two on week five, and everybody's like, this isn't funny anymore. We're halfway through this shit, and we're like not even close. I'm looking at the 20 of them, and I don't think I, as the viewer, with like the benefit of like the narrative crafted by the editors of this show, can look in that crowd and be like, well, it's clearly those two.
I will say my hero of this episode was Cheyenne, because Nelson walks up with Rashida and they pair up. And then Cheyenne's just like pissed that he walked up there and acted like nothing happened the night before. So she starts calling everybody out. She's like, the men on this show are disgusting. Nelson walked up there, did nothing. Chuck
Nelson said nothing about like this.
Yeah.
She was like, you could have hurt somebody. Like, yeah, he'd super, like when he punched through that door, he could have hurt somebody behind the
door. Chuck is like shamelessly like sleeping with women in front of other women. And she's like,
Hannah does give him a piece of.
Yeah.
Brittany's up there like about to match up. And Ryan's like, so you hit that boom, 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 right? And Hannah's like, oh no, that was me the night before.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So ice cold.
Maybe it is the shower.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, so only one new match, so they are not getting anywhere.
They're doing fucking terrible. They're doing so bad. They had three matches on week three with no confirmed matches. So they had three, and one of those was Connor and Chelsea, I think. I think they were matched up on week three. And the following week, they had Connor and Chelsea match. They had two, which was the Connor and Chelsea match and somebody else. And this time they had the Connor and Chelsea match and somebody else.
Are you tracking any of this in your head? Like,
I'm tracking a lot of it in my head. I have a beautiful mind.
Do you think you know, like, what couple
split up
that should get back together for the purpose of this?
Well, I mean, that's a good thing about week two is we know, like, that was the great equalizer of, like, that blackout. Like, we don't know anything about those couples. I don't know, dude. I can't look into that crowd and, like, I have no other bets. For Connor and Chelsea, I was like, oh yeah, that would be cool. But it's just they've like locked in. They spent so much time. They spent maybe 3 weeks, which like doesn't sound like a lot of time, but that's 3/10 of the total time that they had just like dicking around.
Yeah. Well, it made me think, what can we learn about Connor and Chelsea that will suggest how the other matches might work?
Well, they had like that huge, I think like, I don't know. We know nothing about the matchmaking process. We know nothing about like what establishes the matches. But the fact that Chelsea is a drug counselor and he is a recovering drug addict is like, that seems like a pretty.
They had one of the few like in-depth conversations that has happened on this season.
They're also like, that's not the only thing. Like, they seem genuinely cool together.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's a pretty, maybe there's like a...
Well, but if you think about it, everybody else is talking about like, yeah, I want someone who loves family and who, you know, can take care of me. They're like not really revealing themselves at all.
Well, we had the two, we tried the one, we had, who's the, Brittany, who's kind of a Southern girl, and then Austin? No, who's the Southern...
Hunter.
Hunter. Sorry, Austin and Hunter are both the most like... Southern ass names like ever.
Yeah.
Hunter and Brittany are like, oh well, that could be something. They're both like country nope. people, but it's not. Nope. Did not. I don't know. I don't think these kids are gonna get very much money from doing the television show together.
No.
I think they're going to leave without very much money in their hands, and I think maybe we'll get three pairs total.
I'm excited to see what that honeymoon suite life is like next week.
I would be psyched out of my fucking mind to get the fuck out of that house.
I know.
I'm really excited. So I sound negative. Like, I really do like the show, and I do like a lot of the people on it. Like, Devin is kind of a tool, but like, he's a funny tool. He wore like a cheetah print to this ceremony, which I was into. But like, some of the people genuinely fucking suck. And I would be psyched to not be in a house with them.
That is what's different about this show. Every other reality show we watch, like, people get eliminated.
Yeah,
that does not happen on the show.
I am excited to see more implications of what the whole concept of the show is so rich with possibility of you're supposed to like really sync up with people and form like a connection with them. But at the same time, that connection could not be the right connection that you need to win the game show. And so what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? What does that disconnect mean? And how do you sort of navigate it?
And most of them are revealing anytime they partner with somebody who's not their match, they're all like, oh yeah, this person is exactly like an ex that I've been with before.
Which is also interesting. Like, yeah. It could be bullshit. The matchmaking shit could be complete garbage. But every person on week two is like, this is the person I was immediately drawn to. And it was like, well, none of you are right. Yeah. So there's got to be something to the fact of like, a lot of them are having that realization of like, oh, I've dated people like this before and it fucking sucks.
Yeah, wait a minute,
this doesn't work out. Yeah. The truth booth, I can't say enough good stuff about it. Like, having a climax in the middle of the episode, that doesn't happen for any reality show. That's amazing. Like, that's some of the most exciting shit that happens in the whole thing. The match ceremony is exciting, like figuring out like how much closer or further away they are from like figuring it out. That's really cool. That truth booth is like delicious. And then, like, you spend the whole show, like, theorizing who's gonna, like, get it, who's gonna be the real match. Like, there's so many, like, watchable things about this show. It's insane.
Yeah, and it's quick. Each episode is, like, 20 minutes or
no,
something?
No, it's a full hour long show.
Really?
It's like 42 minutes without commercials. Yeah.
Wow, it feels like 20.
I know it does. It's a good ass show. I'm so psyched to finish the season.
Yeah, so next episode we'll watch
six through 10. There's 10 episodes, right? I'm just assuming there's 10 weeks and these clowns aren't going to figure it out. So,
unless maybe there's a reunion up.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
yeah, we'll be finishing this out and then we'll move on to a new show. I'm glad that everybody's liking it as much as we are.
Yeah.
I genuinely like talking about it. It's a fucking killer show. I want to know more about it. I want to watch the other seasons. I'm excited that that doing this podcast has brought a new show into our lives that we can like obsess over. But thank you all for listening and thanks for joining us on this journey. Thank you for reviewing us on iTunes. If you haven't, if you could do that, it would help us out. And
yeah.
Subscribing to us on iTunes and telling a buddy.
A rose buddy.
We share the name of our podcast with a Minecraft server. So like the hashtag Rose Buddies column I have in TweetDeck is, either populated by people saying funny things about the shows we're watching or screenshots of somebody's like block farm.
I thought it was also like a, pet.
There was a like perfume for dogs or some shit. I don't know how they landed on the name Rose Buddies, but how did we? Oh, I know why. It's like a fun pun.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for listening to the podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you to the gas people outside who went away halfway through.
Yeah.
And
I'm Rachel McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
When you're ready. Final Rose. Stay with us on this journey of joy. Spoiler alert. She ends up with Soulja Boy. Right Reese's. Right Reese's. Can it be good? All aboard.